Welcome to QuakeCast, the podcast for id Software's classic Quake and the games it inspired.
Hello, Quakers, and welcome to another episode of the QuakeCast. Today, we are interviewing someone who's considered to be a pretty outspoken individual in the community, Shambler.
Shambler has been a part of the Quake scene for many years as a reviewer and in a couple of different websites. And, you know, way back when he just, you know, vowed that he would never make a level. But we're going to hear the surprising story of how he decided to go ahead and dip his toe into mapping.
Are you telling me he broke the vow?
He broke his vow.
Oh.
Can he be trusted? I don't know.
I don't know. If you break vows, can you be trusted? If a tree falls in the woods and no one's there to hear it, does it make a sound? If someone without a sense of smell takes a smelly poop, is it truly smelly? Find out today in this episode.
It's like 22 years. I had a friend who was into gaming. I was not into gaming or computers at all. And I used to really like watching him play stuff. I used to like watching him go through these kind of fantasy universes. He played quite a lot of Doom and then quite a lot of Quake. And then I started using his computer when I was hanging out and playing a bit of Quake. And I think then Quake 2 came out and I got my own computer, which would be like Pentium 2266, with like all the kind of 16 meg of RAM and all that stuff.
Right.
Yeah, and just started playing myself. I think I started with Quake, and Quake 2 was pretty soon after that. Really liked both of them. And then Unreal came out, and I really liked that as well. So I was like playing all three of those in kind of tandem. But yeah, sort of games moved on. I stuck with some of the older games for quite a while, but Quake was the only one that I stuck with until now. Like, I don't play Quake 2 or even like Doom 3 or even like the mid-level games. Now I've kind of moved on to, I either play like modern games and been playing Mutant Year Zero recently, which was December last year, or oh, yeah. I play games that are 22 years old and still like them. So yeah, it was as simple as that. I didn't come into it through Doom. I came into it through Quake and Quake 2 kind of consecutively.
So you still hang on to Quake 1 though. Do you still play Quake 2? Like, is there another username of Shambler uses for Quake 2 forums or something?
No.
And okay,
I played Quake 2 for a few years and Unreal for a few years. But as sort of games came out that caught my attention, as my gaming kind of diversified into other genres as well, I guess it started, I mean, what came out? Things like Half-Life 2, things like FAC 2, Alice. There was a lot of various games that came out, and I started playing different games. I was like, they kind of took over my sort of current gaming from like the Quake 2 and Unreal stuff. But Quake itself, nothing really took over that kind of old school kind of niche for me. I mean, Painkiller came out, but Painkiller is pretty decent, but it wasn't really, didn't hit the mark in terms of the vibe of it. So yeah, Quake just kind of stayed.
And what do you think it is about Quake that made you stick with it all this time? Because I know we're all in this community pretty crazy because we play this old game, but what was it for you?
Yes, it's a good question. There's like factors. There's quite clear factors about it. Maybe it's like the more than the sum of its parts. It's got that kind of atmosphere I really like in gaming. I don't like kind of real world type gaming. I like kind of sci-fi and fantasy and gothic stuff. You know, the games I enjoyed last year were like Ghost of a Tale, which you play this cute little mouse character in this fantasy castle. I like Battletech, which has giant mechs stomping around, and Mutant Year Zero, where you're a little band of mutants in a post-apocalypse world. So those kind of atmospheres of
so as long as it's not real life, you're good
pretty
to go.
Much so real life is out there in reality. I like it's like kind of as far from that as possible. I'm the guy whose favorite bit of Half-Life was Zen, when everyone else was sort of slagging it off. So Quake has got, it's got like that, the style is very much kind of, it's dark fantasy, gothic, industrial, surreal. It's like, although AD takes it more into traditional fantasy, which is fine in its own right, it's got a real warped edge to it. That goes along with the monsters as well. I mean, I'm really a kind of fan of like monsters and creatures and interesting enemy in games, whether it's, you know, giant robots or, you know, creepy stalky things or whatever. And Quake has its kind of brutal, weird and brutal monsters. I still think, you know, my nickname Shambler is there for a reason, because I think the monster is so just brilliant, you know, the whole look of it. Same with like fiends, boars, scrags. They're all pretty warped. They've all got this style about them. And then you've got this kind of like this direct visceral action. There's no kind of messing around. There's no cover shooting. It's just you moving that. The feedback of the control in Quake is absolutely brilliant. And then you've got
That's what I'm going to ask you. How much of it is the mechanics that you still love about it?
Yeah, I mean, I do like the mechanics. And you get like modern games that have a fast pace, like Doom 4, I guess you'd call it, which I think is brilliant. You know, it's one of the best pure action FPSs in the last decade. And I think they've done a great job of getting that kind of balance right with it. But it doesn't feel quite, it's got this like such a crisp feel to it. It's crisp and kind of crunchy feel, you know. It doesn't feel like there's any kind of floatiness or bounciness. It's just real, you know, rock solid. Mm-hmm. But the other thing I'd say as well is that the potential where people have taken Quake, because you've got this atmosphere is once kind of specific, as in it's, you know, kind of dark and weird, but at the same time quite open-ended. So you can have like desert temples, like blood-stained altars, and then you can have like underground bases with like glowing sewers. You can have floating castles in the sky. You can have, you know, kind of ruined monuments and all sorts of things that people push it in different directions. And if you took like a snapshot of Quake maps, even in the last year, and how diverse they are, but how they retain this kind of dark gothic atmosphere to them,
right,
and this brutal combat, it's a really good kind of combination.
Yeah, it's almost like Quake 2, sort of that cohesiveness of the vision kind of worked against it for me a little bit. You know, get kind of tired of just base. And I also like how Quake is a little rough around the edges, because they did kind of change the development and that, all that backstory with id Software. It helps the game. It keeps that open.
It gives it a little vagueness that you can push it in different directions. And yeah, I thought Quake 2 was brilliant for a long time. It was probably for a decade, Quake 2 and Unreal were my second equal favorite games after Quake. But Quake 2, I think they did a great job of making it more coherent, more believable, more well-themed than Quake. But they also, you know, creatively kind of put people in a bit of a corner there. Like, if you don't want to make it kind of sci-fi, there's not really many places to go. If you want to make a sci-fi base map, then yeah, Quake 2 is brilliant. Not my personal choice, but I think Unreal was a bit, I think maybe because of weirdness with like engines and editors and the feel of the game, it was a bit underrated, because that also had, you know, quite beautiful castles, quite gritty medieval castles. It had all this open kind of terrain exploration. It had various, you know, a few different sci-fi aspects to it. So like people could have done, I think they did do more. I mean, I should probably know this because I was reviewing levels at the time, but it was another game where you could go in quite a lot of different directions creatively and aesthetically with it. But obviously Quake has proved very successful in that way. Yeah.
Well, so now tell us how you got into reviewing maps after having played them and been a fan. You are well regarded and well known for your level of the weeks and Team Shambler.
It's a long time ago now, but I guess it was pretty cool at the time. How I got into that, I actually got online I actually got online because I had started doing some speedruns of custom maps, and I really wanted to share them. And that was actually, I'd only ever been online on my mate's computer before, so I kind of got my kind of 56K modem at my parents' place, and all that squeaking and right. babbling noise as it connected. And I got online and I submitted some speedruns to SDA. And at the same time, I kind of noticed all these levels and I started playing these levels and I saw like the review sites. Now, who was it? There was Crash and there was someone else. I can't remember. There's a couple of guys who had done it and they'd stopped doing it. And there were people still making levels or levels that had been made recently and they weren't being reviewed. And I was getting really into this because I was like, I really like Quake. Here's more Quake and people are doing some really cool stuff. At that time, the kind of big maps were like the Mex maps, M-E-X-X. Mm-hmm. And they were... I mean, they seem really crude by today's standards, but they were big and impressive at the time, and certainly, you know, an extrapolation from ID stuff at the time. And I was like, people aren't like promoting and supporting this. This is crazy, you know. People are like starting to waffle on about Half-Life and this and whatever. So I just learned to do basic website stuff and thought, right, I'll do it. And yeah, I did it. I think it's funny looking back at that period because I think my heart was very much in the right place and I was trying really hard and I was pushing it and I got a fair amount of acclaim from it and I got a fair amount of satisfaction seeing people come out of the woodwork and seeing guys who had, you know, people who had like sort of dabbled around and then suddenly started doing really well, like CZG, for example. And I think I definitely had some influence, but I do look at it, you know, my writing and stuff was maybe I could do a much more mature job of it these days. I was young and enthusiastic and I was quite critical as well, but I kind of stand by that still to these days. I think I was right. You know, I mean, there's some guys' maps who I rejected early on. I think I might rejected like Kona or Tronwyn or something like that, but you look at the stuff that they did afterwards that I did review and there's some great stuff there. So yes. I don't know, I in terms of like level critique and stuff, I think it's fine to say this is not that good. It's, you know, it's not a very good level, there's all these issues with it. People have had critiques of my levels and some of them I'm like, you know, you're talking cobblers, but some of the things they've said have been like, yeah, bang on. You know, it is too plain or it isn't interneted or whatever. I think I'm not someone who's positive for the sake of it. I'll be sort of quite blunt about stuff, but it's for the greater good. And I guess, you know, you're not reviewing the person, you're reviewing the level they made and choose to put out.
Right. People have to choose to kind of not take it personally. I will say just jump in here just a little bit. When I came back to mapping in 2015, because of Trench Room and all that stuff, I made a map and I know you've both played it in End of Solace. And I remember you gave some critique on Funk Message Board, Shambler. And I was like, I kind of pressed you. I'm like, well, what do you mean by this? You know, this kind of, and I'm telling you that the critique really helped me on my future maps. And I do even keep that stuff to mind. And I won't go into the details of it, but I'm just saying that you were kind of, yeah, you were very blunt at first, but there was a couple of things I'm like, okay, well, what does he mean by this? And you explained yourself and you kind of came back right at me and it really helped a lot. So there's something to be said about the critique and criticism, you know, hard criticism. As long as it's constructive, you know?
And I think I'm pretty on the ball with it, but I don't always get it right. I didn't always get it right in the past. Sometimes I'll say things and I'll just be, you know, I'm a human. I get affected by my mood or whatever else I played or whatever's kind of going on. And sometimes I'll be too critical or sometimes I'll be too like just washing over things and not really offering kind of useful stuff. But yeah, I mean, if stuff helps, it helps, you know? So it's all for the thing is as well, I unless someone's being a real idiot, I don't critique stuff for the sake of critiquing. I don't really, I've done my stint as like Cranky Steve. When I reviewed Unreal levels for Planet Unreal, I didn't choose what to review. I just reviewed whatever came in. With my Team Shambler site, I kind of choose if something I thought this is my stand at the time was it should be at least ID quality. because the game had been out for 2 years then. People had made stuff, quite a lot of stuff that was better than ID quality. There was I thought that was a clear benchmark, you know, do something that's at least as good as whatever, E2M2. Mm-hmm. I can't even remember E2M2. It doesn't have to be as big or as complicated. It could be your own ideas or whatever, but try and use the game as a basis. But for Unreal, I didn't have that. I just reviewed whatever came in, and some of them were absolutely amazing, like Illhaven and stuff like that. And there were others that were awful, and I went full cranky Steve on them. You know, I had like review scores and everything. There was things I gave 0 out of 10 and what have you. And it's kind of fun doing that, but I don't tend to really do that. Occasionally, I'll be a bit, I'll take the mickey a bit with a Quake, but if I'm doing it, it's not for my. I get enough kind of fun beefing online and talking to Kin about his curry escapades and that guy Gypsy who went off on one. All that. So there's enough fun there without just laying into someone's level for the sake of it. Usually it'll be. It's for like the greater good in a way. It's like if someone releases a level and the textures are a real mishmash, I might say, you know, those textures make my eyes bleed, dude. Try and get some coherency to them. But there's a reason for that, because if that guy, you know, releases a level that's got better, more harmonious textures, then. That could be better in the end for everyone.
No, I agree 100%. It's like I say, constructive criticism, even if it just has an edge to it and it's short and to the point, you know, it's super valuable. So,
and I see you guys, the way you respond to things, like I see Dump Truck's postings, and they is super encouraging of new mappers, but more positive than I would be about stuff. And RC, I don't actually watch many of your videos, RC, but I do like them. You always have this. I mentioned this now, this might come out later, but one thing I really like about when I watch your videos is you always have this kind of like slightly giddy approach to like Quake and playing these maps, almost as if you've never played Quake before. You review it, you play through these things, and you commentate as if it's just another game. And it's not Quake. It's not this thing we're so deeply into. Like you could be, you know, playing, I don't know, Dark Souls 3 or something like that. And it's just that vibe I get, and it's quite nice. It's got this kind of boyish wonder about it, that you don't sound kind of all like jaded and over familiar like the rest of us. Maybe that's inspiring for other people to see.
Well, it's actually funny you say that, because someone put it, I think, perfectly a couple of years ago. I forget who said it exactly in the community, but they said I'm basically the Bob Ross of Quake. So,
oh man!
And I was like, yeah, I can totally see that.
Have you offered to marry that person? That's such a compliment.
I think I'm firing up Photoshop right now.
That's hilarious.
I'm going to give you some hair. Yeah.
Right. But we got some happy ogres up over here.
There's a variety of commentators on Quake, and some guys like you guys are like very much on the pure, really positive end, and there are other guys who don't really contribute or don't really kind of provide much feedback, or maybe they're sort of general, they're a bit of general arsiness that kind of doesn't make them so beneficial to mappers. And I'm probably somewhere in between. Like, I have quite a bit of arsiness with my comments, but there's usually kind of some reasoning there. So.
Oh yeah. And you've played a hell of a lot of Quake. That's for sure.
I wish Steam kept track of like, there's something like, you see all your game times on Steam, and I wish Steam kept track of that, because it would be actually. I'm glad it doesn't actually. If I worked out that I like the totality of the time was something like 28 months of my life just playing Quake, it would be quite worrying.
Oh well, you know, it's all time well spent, right? I mean, giving people a little bit of guff over levels and stuff. It's fun. You know,
I could be sat here watching EastEnders or Strictly Come Dancing or betting on football or something. You know, games are,
yeah,
the games are another, they're another media form. And there's definitely, you look at something like Quake and the things you can do with it. I mean, when I did speedrunning was brutally hard. You can have very challenging stuff in there. You can have really challenging, you know, Quake Deathmatch back in the day. then you've got this kind of community about it. Then you've got people doing it as like an art form. Then you can do your own mapping or your own contribution. And that's a bit better than the sitting, watching Strictly Come Dancing, then posting like one half-assed comment on Facebook about whoever won it or have you. I think that, you know, games are they're done in balance. And I think, I don't know about you guys, but a lot of us have been there where it's kind of taken over our lives. We've all been very insular and geeky. And, you know, it can go too far that way. But as part of a balanced lifestyle, I think games are, you know, really cool. Really totally valid media format.
So, Shambler, I don't know if you've ever actually broken it down as far as your reviews go, but what is it you're looking for in a level? Like, is there a checklist that you're looking for, or what do you look for?
to be honest, if I this is one of the things that I would do if I was doing a review site, again, would maybe have something a bit more like a checklist to it. One thing I did, actually, a slight digression, but related to that, when I reviewed briefly Battlezone 2 levels, because Battlezone 2 I thought was an awesome kind of hybrid real-time strategy plus vehicle, first-person vehicle-based combat as you were directing the battlefield. And I reviewed levels for that because people were making some pretty neat custom levels for it. And one thing I did was I described the level kind of quite objectively, and almost like kind of blandly what type of level it was. And then I put my own personal view of how my experiences went on it. So they were two very things. So one part was very neutral and one part was very opinionated, unlike my previous Quake reviews where it was all kind of mashed together. So I think there's ways to kind of like review and there's different ways to review and critique things. And I think I do. Yeah, I definitely do things differently these days. What I look for in a level when I was reviewing and what I look for now is pretty much the kind of same thing. It's not really a conscious checklist. It's just stuff that happens that you get while you play it. Quakiness, it's got to fit into Quake kind of somehow. And that doesn't rule out a lot, but sometimes like the real world levels, or maybe something like Redfield's modifications, which, yeah, they're their own thing, but there's a few things that don't kind of really work in Quake with the kind of the textures, the engine, the monsters so well. Having its own kind of theme, having a nice theme to it, that could be something as generic as a bog standard kind of ID1 theme, or it could be, you know, some really exotic IK white floating temple. The sort of coherency to it, coherency of the kind of theme and design, and the sort of build quality, but I don't mean like kind of purely technical build quality, the stuff that Nedke keeps slagging me off for. I don't care what goes on behind, even now I know a bit more about maps, I don't care what goes on behind the scenes. I care about what the player sees and it just being kind of like just decent quality. You know, it doesn't have to be perfect, but again, I use ID as a sort of benchmark for that. Balanced gameplay, nothing too outrageous, nothing too kind of stupid. Obviously, balance can be pretty gentle or it can be really hard, but not too many things like at the extreme, not too many empty spaces, not too many like crazy arena combats, not too many death traps, not too many like here's all the supplies in the world. And it's quite nice as well to have like, and this might come back if you talk about the stuff that I've made, but having like a kind of purpose to it, having like some kind of vision, having something you're trying to do with it. It's something I'm a real big believer in, is having like some kind of concept, not just doing it for the sake of it. So if I go to, what am I looking at? I've actually got Funk News open here to see if there's anything I can pick as an example. here's quite a good example, actually. This is an interesting one. Recursion, which is a map by Yoda? Yeah, it goes under all sorts of different names. Now, I tried to play Recursion, and I don't think I actually completed it. I didn't like it. But he had a real clear purpose to that. He was trying to do stuff. He was having a real point to what he was doing. And that is something I like kind of in maps in general. They're not all like that. I mean, the people churn out stuff that's just like, oh yeah, this could be like straight out of the original game, but a little bit better quality. So be it. But it's nice to have some vague hook, even if it's only like a temple front or a particularly gory basement with some zombies in, or just something, a bit of a hook to catch your attention.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, I know it's a really hard question to answer. I kind of wanted to put you on the spot because it's like, hey, what do you look for? Because when you see it, that's when you're like, that's what I'm looking for, you know?
I was thinking about this at a long drive the other day, and I was thinking about, I was getting mentally prepared. I was kind of girding my loins for this interview, and I was thinking about the whole ID1 thing and having that as a standard. And also thinking about the first episode is it Dimension of the Doom? I can't even remember what they're called.
Yeah, it is.
Dimension of the Doom, because I just know that, you know, I just know the maps. I don't even know half the names. I know like E1, M1 and stuff. And thinking how a lot of those maps, I think, in episode one are just brilliant examples of like coherency, of theme, of purpose. You know, that is, I think, one of the best bits ever released in gaming is that first episode. You got the very first map and you go down, you're introduced to like kind of secrets and lifts, and there's a little outdoor bit, and then you've got that hook of going down the spiral staircase by the slime. The second map, you've got like two levels, so you're like above water, you've got the water, and then you're on bridges above it. You've got that little arena where the fiends come out. The third one, you've got kind of the gloomy caves, and then you've got that endless lift journey up to an arena. The fourth one, you've got half underwater. You're actually going and exploring all this stuff underwater, and then you've got that kind of castle front canyon. The fifth one, E1M5, the first scene of that where you see this outside of this castle with those kind of pillars and the arch in it, just really at the time, you know, people do stuff that's so much better than that these days, but at the time that's a really beautiful frontispiece. And then you've got the kind of gloomy dungeon E1M6 with the kind of lava in it. A lot of these things, you know, they have real hooks and real style to them. And I think they still inspire me to this day. And I think that's something that, you know, mappers shouldn't be copying these things, but they can really, like, the very basic, the first map you ever see in the game has a lot to learn from it, I think. A lot of inspiration in it.
Now you've had this giant body of work. Now, is at some point did you say that you would never make maps? Because I've heard, you know, Daz kind of
mentioned that. Yep. I said it many, many times. Now here's the thing. I thought at the time about making maps, and I have it. I can rustle these pages right here. This is my notebook that I did at the time, like nearly 20 years ago. And I have got, that first page, that's Sham SP1. Second page, Quake, Song of Stone. This is something done in Stecky's textures, I think. Quake, Gothicity, map one, map two. Lots of people who had like map scraps that they'd shown me, and I was thinking you could just finish these off. Quake 2 episodes. I had a lot of Daikatana stuff because I was hoping the Daikatana would be really good and well received. Unreal, four different Unreal maps based around the different elements, page for each. Lots of assault maps. So I had a lot of stuff here. And I just wrote them down because I had ideas. And I thought about doing it, but I had some of my kind of issues. I had some personal issues at the time that made me kind of worry about getting into mapping and getting further sucked into this kind of computer online world. So I was a bit like kind of lazy, and I was a bit kind of reluctant to do it. And then I kind of eased off a bit on the Quake scene and what have you. So yeah, I mean, it's kind of funny because people say, you know, you should maybe spend all this time. I think it's like a double barrel thing. People are saying, firstly, you spend all your time like kind of criticizing other people's levels and saying, oh, this ambush isn't very good, or there's a death trap here, wow, wow, wow. And, you know, you should put your mapping where your mouth is. And on the other time, they're saying, like, you've been analyzing levels for 3 years. Surely you should know how to make something half decent. You know, why don't you do it? You must know so much about it, and about it, not mapping, but about the sort of ideas of what would be reasonable quality. So they were all saying, oh yeah, you know, just you should do it. And I was just like, no, I'm not mapping. I'm not ever mapping. But, you know, things happen, things change and stuff.
So what was it that changed that you were like, okay, I'm finally going to do this?
It was a coincidence of things. It was, I've had some health issues this year. And this is something I said in my first in my README for my first map, I had digestive health issues, which kind of put a different spin on what I was doing in life over this kind of last year, easing off a bit, but I'm still not able to get back to a kin level diet, which seems to be subsisting on curry. And at the same time, I was having stuff, I was looking around at stuff that was kind of just providing distractions when things were quite bad. And I started looking at your videos, Dump Truck. I don't even know why. And they were just, because why would I look at them? I'm never going to map. And then I was like, okay, this is really palatable. It's presented really palatable. It's made it, you know, start with the basics. You make it look so easy. And yeah, and then I tried it and I got this kind of like here. I basically did your box room tutorial. But instead of making it in the same things, I made it with like rock walls and an earth floor and this like blue stuff in the background and put a skybox on it. And then I started messing with the rocks, and then I started streaming it, what I was doing. And this, like this, I've got a picture up on screen of this like box with rocks and this pillars. And then people started being very amused by it. And then I just, got into it. Really?
It is addicting. You know, it's addicting in a different way than gaming is, in my opinion. You know, it is feedback, and you're like, it's world building and it's creativity and technical. There's so many aspects to it that are so much fun and so enjoyable. So,
yeah. And I think as well, having the tools, I mean, I can only imagine how grim things were before Trench Broom. I mean, you know, that kind of 3D view, what you see is what you get sort of thing, really kind of works for me. And that was sort of really encouraging to, you just basically, it's like you're molding this stuff. It's like doing it with virtual putty or virtual clay, and just like kind of like getting this thing and chopping it into the correct brush shape, sticking it next to another one. And yeah, just the way that works was pretty encouraging as well. Yeah.
Well, I think the response to your maps has been, you know, well deserved, because everybody's like, you know, Fifth just made a joke.
Traumatized.
People, you know, your experience reviewing obviously has made an impact on the gameplay. I just got to say, you released, I think, what, eight maps in 1 year? Wow.
It's 8 maps in 6 months.
Wow, that's amazing. Wow. And they are actually all good. They do have a different flavor. So
some of them were pretty quick. My one Shamus P3, which I kind of was supposed to be a speed map, and I kind of added a bit more and made it a proper map. I mean, that was pretty much the best part of 3 days or 4 days doing that.
Wow, that's great.
And the speed maps didn't take me so long, but then others took me a long time, but it was just, you know, I wasn't doing much else. With them, I have something. I don't know whether this would come up as a question or not, but it's something I find maybe worth mentioning about the stuff I do. And people sometimes think, yeah, you know, mappers are artists or what have you. And certainly, someone like Bal, curses, blooming French talent, is quite clearly an artist. He not only curses talent, but also curses. He's been out bantering me and out trolling me on Terrafusion Discord as well, which is kind of funny. So some people are artists, and some people might view it as an art. Now, I also paint toy soldiers, and I paint toy soldiers pretty well, better than I map, although I'm very lazy with them at the moment. And that's something I've done for years. And I have this sort of thing about this, like, so some people do it as art, and I do it as like a craft. And it's the same with the kind of levels. It's kind of like a craft, and it's about getting like this end result via whatever kind of means suits your kind of style. But one thing I try and do in both kind of these kind of creative hobbies is I like to have a theme. I like to have a concept behind it. I can't just do it for the sake of it. I've got to have, if I'm painting a figure, I've got to have a color theme in mind. There's got to be some atmosphere. Maybe I want it to look a bit comical or cartoony, or maybe I want it to look pretty bleak, or maybe I want something to look very, very traditional like the company originally did it, or maybe I want to experiment with a particular color. And there's always a concept. And it's the same with mapping as well. Like, I like to have an idea, and some of these ideas I had written down, and I put pictures of those. Some of them I scanned my notebook and put them online, and like, here it is, and it looks, you know, the layouts look pretty similar. Others just came to me as stuff was kind of happening, like the OTP's Doom textured speed map theme. I was like, and I just had this like vision of this kind of like the underside of this world with like these stalactites sticking down, like these weird temple bits kind of floating around it. And I'm like, right, I've got a concept, just get on and do it. And I've tried quite a few other things. I've actually done a lot of little map sketches where I've like tried to work with different layouts, and I thought, right, I'll try to get something a bit more 3D, or try something that's quite small but quite tight. And I just haven't had the concept there. I've been trying to do something, and I'm just not interested. So that's something I find is quite a big thing for me doing levels, and something I definitely appreciate in other people's levels as well. It's less about being an artist and more about, and this sounds really poncy, but it's the meaning of the two words, conceptual craftsman, having a concept and then crafting it in the medium you're working with, and then other people can see it. And it's something as well, like concepts can be a matter of taste. So if someone says to me, oh, I don't like that level because I just don't like, say they say, I don't like Sham SP2, Warmth of a Dying Sun, because it's too square and boxy and I don't really like that kind of temple thing. I'm like, yeah, great. That was my concept. That was my intent. If it's not to your taste, then that's totally, you know, that's totally fine.
Yeah, fair enough.
So that's a big,
but it's still accomplished. It's still accomplished, and the gameplay is still good. And that carries things. You know, I love the variety of all the maps you've made. I'm looking at these. You know, I'm looking at your site right now, and just kind of going through memory lane here. But you definitely all your style, you know, bears out here. All your musings on style and having a concept, and it's just so clear from your mapping. It seems like you're trying different things, like you did your last released map, Annolith of Aberration here.
Which that is very much based. There's Ulvonda's fault. The title. It's very much. He posts all these kind of really obscure death metal and black metal links, and they all have these. What was it that one he posted? Eroded Corridors of Unbeing. All these like ridiculous broken English titles. Yeah. So that's what came to me. And then I kind of like almost made a map based around that theme.
Oh, wait. So you came up with the title first?
I think so. Yeah.
Yeah, well, because the reason I'm asking is because Fifth said he never finishes maps if he comes up with a title first, which is funny. He just said
I pretty much, I think so. The actual layout of that map is two deathmatch designs fused together. The kind of more complex room with all the blood on the floor is actually supposed to be a Quake, but a dual map design that would work in various games. Like I have it for Quake 2, Unreal Tournament. I've got the sketch right in front of me. And it's based exactly on that sketch. And then it's fused with the Y-shaped corridor and the arena were supposed to be an Unreal Tournament map. And obviously you think, God, that looks a bit crappy for Deathmatch. But actually Unreal Tournament, the way it would all play out, is kind of a bit different to a traditional map. You could get away with weirder designs. So that kind of Y-shaped corridor in the final arena was its own kind of design. And basically I just blocked these out in roughly the right proportions, and then just like rotated them until I think, how can that fit together? Cut some holes in it and then worked out a path of progression. So there's a bit of a trivia for you. And then chose the worst possible trim texture anyone could, and spent hours aligning that trim. It's a really bad idea.
Here's an am tip
for you guys. Always use the WizMet trim because it just works.
So I will say that that map in particular I just played recently a few weeks ago, and I had a ball with that one. And in the 6 months that you made these eight maps, it's been crazy to see where you started and where you've gotten to now. Because at the start of 2019, it's like, holy shit, like, look at this map. This is great. It's got a fetus in it. I love it. But
that was one of the underused. I don't know if that, I think that might have only featured in a Zerst or a Deathmatch map, that fetus. But it was just such okay. a. It's pretty, it's, you know, some of the subtler things in Zerst were pretty warped, and it just, I just seemed to fit in. It's weird you say because I watched your video of it and it was great fun, and I'm really you know, really appreciative of that. It's great fun to watch, although I wish you played on skill 2 to get the full 15 spawn ambush. which if you stay up top, or if you run into the final arena on the second level and get to all fight with the enforcers, you can usually get away, you know, maybe 20 or 30 damage out of all that lot. I thought it was probably the most spawn for the least effectiveness ever done in Quake. but yeah, it was interesting.
Enough actually, with the spawns, people.
People said when I started out, oh, what's going to be your theme? You're going to have like some style that's like the Shambler style. And I think I've managed to avoid doing that. Because I've tried to keep things really diverse and have diverse ideas. But one thing is I'm always going to have spawn in secrets or spawn in secret areas. Mm. I think, did I have one in my AD map? I had a boil in a secret anyway. So yeah.
You're evil.
But actually, the maps I'm most proud of are my second one with the desert theme. And I really just felt, that was exactly the vision I had. And I think I might have mentioned this before in a video. That was actually a map. I dreamed the style of that. I had a dream about wandering around this desert with like the void beneath it and these curved, like blocky curved structures with like a hieroglyphic trim running around. And in my mind, it was a cross between DAZ SP3 and CZG 04. And I kind of, again, I sketched out the idea and then I kind of obviously made it recently, and really stuff like skyboxes and fog and fong were really useful for that. But it's actually, I just feel I got exactly what I wanted to do with that map, and I nailed it. And obviously, yeah, it's a matter of taste. It's boxy, it's blocky, whatever.
That was an impressive showing on that map, because I was not expecting this after your first map. And then it was just like, wow, he's using the curves and he's going nuts with it. And you did some things that I've never seen. Yeah. Yeah. And I've seen like your gold key pillar and everything that's on the website here. I mean, I just saw a bunch of things that I'd never seen before, or at least hadn't seen in a long time. And they were pretty, it felt pretty fresh.
So. And the other one I'm really pleased with, and this is a really, that second one was a really smooth process. It took me quite a long time to do it, but the first one felt like I was spending a third of the time mapping, a third of the time trying to learn to map, and a third of the time fixing horrible broken terrain and leaks. The second map felt like I was spending 10% of the time learning and 90% just getting on with it and doing it. And it felt like a really smooth process in comparison. Probably the smoothest full map I've done. The other one is my Christmas Jam map, Chapel Perilous, which had really difficult gestation. Again, I had a concept behind the style and behind the kind of layout, trying to get this really long labyrinthine layout that felt as long in gameplay as maybe Bao's epic scenery masterpiece looked. And it was really difficult. But once I got the layout worked and started doing like the details and lighting, I really enjoyed doing it. And I don't know. I mean, again, there's lots of things to dislike about it. It's all the same blooming textures. It's got these tight corridors. Blah, blah, blah. But, and it's completely linear. But I still feel that, again, it was another one where in the end it got exactly the theme and vibe I was aiming for. And I think that's quite a big, yeah, it's a big thing for me. And the one that you liked, RC, the latest one, and the vibration, I like it. I like all the stuff I've done. You know, I was chatting to Sock the other day and he was like, oh yeah, no, I'm really never happy with my levels. Sometimes I just don't enjoy what I've done. I always feel that it could be better. It's always this difficult place. I was like, dude, you know, all this, enough of this artistic torment. I like my own stuff, even if it's, I know it's not as good as, you know, anything that Bal or Thanos or MFX or right. whoever make, I'm still, you know, I'm still happy with it. That one I like, but I put it maybe third on the list of my notes. Although I get, and another one, I'm presuming I'm allowed to waffle a bit, my loves. I really enjoyed doing the speed maps. I felt the, in terms of the result per time, the speed maps have probably been the best quality per hour mapping of the lot, even though they're kind of crude. I think I've only done two, but they've been a really refreshing process. It's a bit like doing the toy soldiers that I've had times where I think the most I put into painting a single figure was about 60 hours. And you guys probably know Warhammer. Wow. It's like you know, inch high models. And that was a really good result. But, you know, what I painted in the end was probably at the time, you know, it was pretty top class, national class. But I just felt, God, that was just too much. It just wasn't a satisfying process. And then there's been things that I've painted that have taken me, have been a lot rougher. They've taken me 10 hours, been a lot rougher, but I've just really nailed some idea, or it's just been like really, I've looked at it, I thought, yeah, for 10 hours, that's really good. I'm really psyched with that. So it's, I guess it's this balance, and it's this balance that people, I think there's people in the Quake scene who are sort of at different ends of the balance, is the kind of the productivity versus the quality, and the, like the time you take and then versus how much you release. And I guess that Dastardly Frenchman again, Bal, he's like right at one end of the spectrum. You know, he releases stuff. There's obvious that he's a AAA game designer by profession. He releases maps that highlight that absolute quality at the rate of like one a year.
right.
And then there's, you know, people who like churn out speed maps. Every session they'll be churning out some speed maps, but I'll be like, yeah. I guess I like the niche in between. I've always been a fan of the pretty good maps, the decent maps, the ID one plus a little bit maps, because they're manageable for people. They're stuff that people can actually make, and you can encourage people to get on and do those. You know, you can't be encouraging people to make the next Sepulchre or people to make the next Christmas Jam Bal 2018. You know, they're it's hard to attain, and it's a frustrating process.
Yeah,
I think it's definitely the wrong foot to step off on, you know, as a newcomer, as a new mapper, to try to tackle that kind of detail, because you have to get the process down, but you got to get the gameplay down first, and then you can start around with trim, in my opinion. So I always, when I start a map, I kind of follow your advice, you know, just try to approximate an id map and then go from there. And sometimes I fail, sometimes I succeed. But I fell into the trap of doing too many speed maps, you know, and so I've kind of told myself I'm not going to do that this year. I'd like to really do some more quality, longer-term projects.
Yeah. I think so. I mean,
what's next for you? Like, what is your next kind of goal? I know you're taking a little bit of a break, but what's your next kind of goal with mapping or modding or what have you?
My next kind of goal with mapping, this is one I've been discussing with people on TerraFusion a bit, is to make a kind of smaller, maybe, you know, ID size scale map, and actually get it really refined and choose like kind of textures and trim and lighting. And I still feel that I'm like there's a refinement that can be done here, and I was struggling with that with the end of my last map, is getting it. I left myself like 5 or 6 days of just polishing the map, and I still felt like it was like polishing this kind of like blood-filled turd in a way. But the whole idea is like, make something small, make it like really refined. Then, and this is all from discussions I've had with this person off scene and blah, 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 get the map file, get all the vertices, misalign them to grid 0.125, slightly rotate everything, make sure it's full of leaks, then release the map, the normal map, but then send the map file off to Nedke and see if Nedke can work out how on earth I got the actual BSP out of this horrendously balked file that I've sent him. So, yeah.
That's a good goal, like good life goal.
Just because he moans so much about when I put like one arena in a box, or I've got like one missing texture because Trench Broom doesn't fill in blank textures. All this behind the scenes stuff that I care about the end result. You know, I make maps for the players, not for other mappers. And I've seen him. He did something in my Christmas Jam map. He turned on bounding boxes or something and started counting something in rotating doors. I'm like, dude, you're supposed to be enjoying this fantasy universe, not like looking behind the scenes. It's like, I don't know, it's as bad as like Vigil being a film critic or something. So yeah, I've been raging at him a bit about some of these kind of comments, and he's just sort of, I don't know. So yeah, that's my plan anyway. And it'd be quite funny to kind of make this horribly ruined map file, like fully abusing grid 0.125. But in all seriousness, I don't know. I've got a couple of things that I've been sketching around with. One of them might turn into something, but it depends on real life. It depends on other stuff. It depends on inspiration. Yeah, I can't promise. I say there will probably be a bit more from me, but I can't promise sort of how much and when. At the end of the day,
I need to know. What the hell?
If I just can't make any more stuff for whatever reason, I look at what I've done. I think it's been fun. I'm really happy with it. I think, you know, it's been a really fun creative process. So, no regrets doing it, and no regrets if I can't do much more of it.
Sometimes you got to take a break, cool. And you'll get bit by the bug one more time. And it's, I mean, I've walked away from mapping many, many times. And then, right now it's been a long run of, you know, semi-consistent, you know, work and doing things, but the things like the podcast and the videos are kind of interrupt the flow of mapping.
Yeah, yeah, I know.
But I'm still
very productive in other ways. Yeah, I mean, I think again, it depends on having the right idea. I did try half a dozen sketches of just like kind of like getting rough layouts, and I was just like, oh, I'm just not that interested. And then I just saw a photo online. I thought, that could be kind of neat in Quake. Maybe I'll do that. And then I had this idea of some really weird text to use. I thought, that could be interesting. And then I started playing with that, and that could go somewhere. Yeah, it could go somewhere. But again, I can't, you know, I mean, I've still got this sketchbook, but the problem with the sketchbook is everything seems like 90% of the stuff I did for whatever game was all top-down sketches. So I almost never considered 3D layouts in the sketches. And most of it involved vast amounts of terrain. I think this was when like games just like, you know, Unreal Tournament and stuff had started doing a lot of terrain in their maps. Mm-hmm. And I was like, because, you know, breaking out the dungeons, this terrain was pretty awesome. And I mean, this has got like this bridge over these two flowing rivers and these big rock walls, and everything's curved in terrain. It's like, yeah, balls to that. You know, this is the thing. My first map was based around terrain. You know, I mean, I'd say probably like 70% of the layout was terrain based, and that was a really bad idea for a first map.
Yeah, I know you had a lot of teething on that one for sure. Definitely.
Yeah. I mean, you look at something like the early ID maps, E1M1, and you've got that little outside bit where you go down the lift and there's like just those rock walls and that little stream or whatever underneath, and like that's nice and simple, that's manageable, and then you're straight back to inside where you can do everything aligned to grid, and everything's kind of like right angle corners or whatever, and that's kind of a bit more of a sensible idea. So again, like terrain is something I would like to get a bit better at. Each map I've done has had some sort of terrain in, and every time I found it a tedious process doing it. But maybe there's no easy way, you know. Maybe it's just like break everything up into like disorganized asymmetric kind of rectangles, and then push and pull the vertices.
Yeah, I was gonna say I always avoided terrain you know, with like the Plague, unless I was taking a shortcut with a third party app or something. But seeing the way Skacky did it in DM4 Jam, that's the way you want to do it. He made all these, he had, I think it's on his Twitter feed. He has, you know, used a bunch of cubes and then kind of built the basic shape. And then, yeah, then he arranged the, and manipulated the vertexes, vertices. And he's, what he did with that is just mind blowing. So definitely open up that map.
Yeah.
Take a look at the map source on that one. Cause, it seems like, you know, not because you're just on the show, but, you know, it is kind of an event when you come out with a map and, you know, you have the distinction of having the first map in 2019.
That may have been deliberate. That may have actually deliberate.
I think it was totally deliberate.
But I didn't, people, Nekkei think that I thought I rushed that one and stuff. I didn't rush it that much. I actually did it before Christmas, and then I had completely free after Christmas. I had it sent out to testers well before Christmas. And the idea was I was just having like 5 days on my own chilling out, just tweaking it. And I did a lot of tweaking. I mean, there are still issues. It'll still be rough around the edges because it had to come out at some point. But I did make it, you know, in enough time. But yeah. I'm kind of happy with, I'm happy that my stuff has had like a purpose to it. Everything's had like a real purpose. I mean, my Sham SP3 had it's not a family friendly purpose, but it's definitely a purpose. You know, my DM2 remix was like, make it exactly like DM2, but make it, everything's got to be like arches and globes and all this kind of copper texture. So that's something. I'm pleased that, and I've come up with ideas that some ideas that I haven't seen in Quake, like my second map, the sun I made from mashing together lots and lots of torches into this kind of glowing ball. I can't remember seeing that before. And some, you know, the silver key traps, the falling silver key thing. I haven't seen that often. I think, there's the odd thing I've done that's been, had a bit of a hook to it. And I feel pretty pleased with that. To kind of feel you're doing something, even the tiniest bit innovative in a game as mature and well mapped for as Quake, is surprising, really.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's great. It's great. Well, congratulations on all your success and still being part of the Quake community.
Whatever I do, I still enjoy playing these things. I mean, I am, at the moment I play levels, I can be a bit fussy about whether I bother to put much effort into them. So people have made, you know, there's some speed maps and some jam maps where they've had issues and stuff, and I just don't finish playing them. Well, in the past, I'd make sure I've got to do everything because it's Quake. But the ones that I do like and I do play, which is the vast majority, you know, I still have a lot of fun doing. I mean, the recent Christmas jam, there was a guy, was it Strider? He did a couple of really good maps. I was like, wow, this is really cool. I'm having a lot of fun doing this. This is great. It's still a fun game. People are still doing cool stuff, and it's still just nice to be part of it. It'd be nice if it could grow a bit as well. It'd be nice if that we could get kind of more fresh players into the scene. Because I think, you know, the quality of what people do is so good. I mean, there's all these people making these kind of like not very hitting the mark retro FPSs, and then you look at it and think like what people are doing with quite Quake maps and mods like AD and stuff, and you think, guys, this retro FPS you've been wanting is already there. It's been here for 20 years. Exactly. And it's like the quality of the content. And I think OTP had this idea that he was going to like make this full episode of like big maps, reskin some monsters, have all novel textures, so you could kind of like say it was similar to Quake, but not exactly the same, but had that Quake at its heart. And then he was going to release it for free as like this retro future, retro, modern retro FPS, and just take the Mickey out of like all the dusk and strafe and all that stuff. Say, look, guys, it's already here. What you've been wanting to do is already here. So still got, a lot of merit to it, Quake, for sure.
Well said, for sure. Shambler, I wanted to thank you for coming on the show, buddy. It's been a treat talking to you here.
Yeah, no worries. I mean, you guys are all kind of part part of it in your own way. You know, it's kind of like lots of different people in the scene, and Quakecast videos, channels, tutorials. It's all kind of part of it.
And, you know, in the end, we're all crazy. Like I said, we play a 20-something-year-old game. So, yeah, you know, no matter what kind of reputation you have or where you come from or if you start mapping late or whatever, we're all in this together and we're all nuts. So,
exactly. I very, very much agree with that. It's a diverse and cosmopolitan scene, both in people's kind of role within Quake, within the game itself. Like, you know, you've got people like Bal, who I remember being on the first Terra Fusion IRC with Bao like 21 years ago. And then you've got people just coming out of the woodwork, and you've got people from all around the globe doing what, you know, it's pretty good in that way.
Agreed. Yeah. It's a little community, but it's a fun community. And I think, you know, just my thing is there's plenty of mappers. I want more players to, like you alluded to that earlier. And hopefully things like the Quakecast and kind of going out there on Reddit and Twitter and all that stuff is helping.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think, you know, people, although you've got to get over the Quake being a relatively crude game kind of graphically, I think people like that kind of style of game. There's enough people out there who like that, you know, enough that I think if they were aware of like the productivity of the scene and how much, you know, how much there is to play and how a lot, you know, some of the better releases have really like progressed beyond like ID1 kind of brown dungeon roots and stuff, then I think people could have, you know, a lot of fun dipping into it. And they say there's not really, you know, there's not much out there that's kind of hitting the mark in the same way still.
All right. Well, we're all a part of it. So let's kumbaya now.
Kumbaya.
Or have a big man hug.
Ooh, feels good.
Yeah, I feel a big really happy good. Hug, Bob Ross style. This is RC. Thanks for listening to the Quakecast. You can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/watchGGRC.
And I'm Dump Truck. You can find me on YouTube. Just search for Dump Truck _DS. The show notes. Oh my gosh, 32. Oh.
I know, I hear you. It's already Sorry. 5?
It's already 5?
5 p.m.
And it's what, 5? It's 5 below zero there now, right?
Yeah, it is. They said with wind chill, it feels like -7, I think, today.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's hardcore.
It's cold in Michigan, in case you didn't know.
I'm well aware now.
Michigan is basically Canada, so that's the way to think about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, we're good. That's fine.
All right. If you're
I just repeated myself. It's no big deal. I do it all the time. I do it all the time.
Oh my God, is this happening? Am I in another world? Good Lord.